Ravanan. They're giving respect to Ravana? No, we shouldn't give respect to Ravana. You can translate. He's born in a great Brahmana family. He's a great, powerful king, but he's a demon. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that when Hiranyakashipu was ruling over the universe, that Narad Muni would also offer him respect. Narad Muni is often a difficult personality to understand. In the Indian cinema, he's portrayed as a kind of buffoon, but that's offensive because he's a great pure devotee. In the Hindi movies, I don't know about in Tamil also. Yeah. Narad, he once went to Kamsa and told him that actually your enemy, the one who is predicted to kill you, is already born in Gokul. So as a result of this, Kamsa started killing so many children in the whole area of Mathura. So it might seem that why is he telling Kamsa this? The reason is to hasten the activities of the Lord, to bring them to fruition. It's just like if you have a boil and you see that it's becoming bigger and bigger, you think, well, that's good, it's going to burst soon. The boil is painful, but that it's becoming bigger, the condition is becoming more extreme, means that it's going to be over soon. So, as a matter of practicality in this world, sometimes devotees, they have to offer respect to demons, or at least humor them. Do you know what humor them means? It means to say, yes, yes, you're very good. Once in one of the state capitals of India, there was a public meeting where the chief minister was present, and one of our sannyasis was speaking. So generally the politicians are very conceited, means they're full of ahankar. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham. These are the qualities of the demons described in this chapter. Bad qualities. So this sannyasi said that who does the chief minister think he is? Does he think that the rain falling from the sky is his urine? Maybe that's some kind of saying in his area. But that was, and actually the chief minister had been approached to sanction some land for ISKCON in that city, and surprise, surprise, he cancelled it. So we may have to flatter demoniac person. Srila Shukadev Goswami says, Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadur madandhan. Why should a person in knowledge flatter those who are maddened and blinded by wealth? Previously the rishis and munis, they would live in the forest. They had nothing to do with the city life and who's in power. It didn't make any difference to them whatsoever. They were just going on with their bhajan, dhyanam, sadhana, all these things. But in the modern age, with devotees of Krishna are attempting to preach in a demoniac society. So if we simply go to everyone and say, you're a demon, it won't be very... Mostly people, they won't accept it, even though they are demons. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that hunters in the jungle are considered to belong to the demoniac species of life. That's because they like to eat, or they eat lots of meat, and they're always eating blood and meat and like this. But the average person in the modern age is a meat eater also. But everyone likes to think, I'm good. Just like there's a box sitting out there in which we have Bhagavad Gita's, and on the box it is written, we care for dogs. It's a box in which I presume they kept cans of dog food. Yeah. I remember once I was in an airport in Russia, and they had a TV. TV was on there in the waiting room, and there was an advertisement, and it was, I watched it. Of course, I don't understand Russian, but it's so stupid. There was a picture of a man running, and a dog was jumping and looking very healthy and happy. And the man was embracing the dog and kissing the dog. And then it showed the dog food. You have to buy this dog food, and then you also will have an ecstatic, loving relationship with your dog. So this is the demoniac, upside-down society in which people think that it's a great quality to love dogs, and they're killing cows to eat, and the dogs also get some of the cow's meat to eat. We can tell the average Indian that although they've come a long way in imitating the West, they probably haven't gone as far as giving their own plate for the dog to eat from, or sometimes sitting to eat with the dog, or the dog eats from the same plate that you left over, then you just wash it and you use it again. So this is something you have to teach. Maybe in the schools they should teach cultured behavior according to the Western standards. So everyone likes to think they're good. See, I'm very good. I look after my dog very nicely. So if we directly tell people that you're a demon, their ego will increase. They'll become angry. So we're trying to preach Krishna consciousness. So although basically we present the message straightforwardly, but in our dealings there may be some consideration how to deal with people in such a way that they listen to what we say. Once I was present in a darshan with Srila Prabhupada when a devotee asked Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, how should we preach?" So Srila Prabhupada, he quoted a verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati, Chaitanya Chandra Charana Kurute Anuraga. Prabhupada gave his translation, his own translation. He said, you should approach someone and you say to them that, "My dear sir, you are such a wonderful person." So then that person will think, "Oh, this rascal, he's understood my actual position. So what does he have to say? All right, what do you want to say? Say it." And then the devotee should say to him, "You just give up all your nonsense hogwash ideas and surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Now that is the recommendation of Prabodhananda Saraswati and of Srila Prabhupada. Although sometimes Prabhupada was very direct with people. Once one professor came to meet him and Prabhupada asked him, "What subject are you specializing in?" He said, "Biology." And Prabhupada's response was, "Poor frogs." And the professor said, "Then, well, what do you mean, poor frogs?" And Prabhupada said, "Biology means you're cutting so many frogs." Do they have that in the biology classes in India? Cutting frogs, fish. No, I remember in our biology class at school, we had to cut a fish. I remember one girl was crying, "Oh, I don't want to do this," although she's eating fish. "You don't turn off your mobile phone, we'll send you into the demoniac species of life, never to come again." Oh! Whose phone is that? Say Hare Krishna quickly and be delivered from hell. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful avatar. That even though people, they are destined to go to hell, he saves them by giving the nectar of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful because he delivers the demons. Even people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, somehow or other he brings them. Not only not interested, but against Krishna consciousness. Maya mrigam Maya mrigam dayate psitam anvadhavad. He goes running after the conditioned souls to pull them to Krishna. There are many examples of demoniac persons who somehow or other they have obtained the mercy of Krishna. We find that most of the leaders of the Krishna conscious movement today, in their youth, they were breaking all the four regulative principles. Of course, Prabhupada said that in the case of his disciples, that was superficial. But at least personally, I just don't like to think of my life before I came to. Most of the leaders of the Krishna conscious movement today, in their youth, they were breaking all the four regulative principles. Of course, Prabhupada said that in the case of his disciples, that was superficial. But at least personally, I just don't like to think of my life before I came to Prabhupada's lotus feet. It's just like a nightmare. But there are examples, there are many examples of people who have been very against Krishna consciousness who have come around and changed. There was a time in Germany in the 1970s when there was so much propaganda against our movement in TV, radio, and newspapers, magazines, all kinds of, they're saying that we're thieves and cheaters and murderers and kidnappers and all the worst things you can think of. It was very difficult for our devotees, but anyway they were going out and distributing books on Prabhupada's order. It's very difficult because every day the devotees, the people would beat them and shout at them and often would be physically beaten. But somehow or other they were still distributing many books. And Srila Prabhupada was told about this. He said, it's so difficult, the pressure on the devotees is so heavy. Well, they arrested so many devotees also. And Prabhupada said, this is very good. Every day in the newspaper there is Hare Krishna. So they will know this movement is important. And Srila Prabhupada was told about this. He said, it's so difficult, the pressure on the devotees is so heavy. Well, they arrested so many devotees also. And Prabhupada said, this is very good. Every day in the newspaper there is Hare Krishna. So they will know this movement is important. In Australia also, the devotees in Melbourne, I think it was, every day they would go out to chant Hare Krishna, and every day they would be arrested. So they asked Prabhupada what to do. Prabhupada said, you go on chanting. If you get arrested, then you go on chanting in the prison. So the devotees did that, and but that was reported in the newspapers, and the public sympathized with them. In Germany also, I found now that so many young people, they think our movement must be very good. They thought, if the government is so much against us, then it must be something good. So this is a very heavy chapter, you can say. It's a fact, actually, that it's people who are very demoniac, they have a very bad future. And in some places and circumstances, they harass devotees very much. It's a good test to see how fixed we are in bhakti when there's persecution from demons. It's good that if we try to do bhakti in a peaceful situation, and that will be tested in difficulty, how actually sincere we are to serve Krishna. So reading about these descriptions of how the demoniac people, they make life miserable for others and for themselves, devotees, they want to reform that situation. We have to do something to help them. People are suffering because of ignorance. Everyone is suffering. In the material world, everyone is suffering, and especially in Kali Yuga. So many people come to me and tell me, I'm suffering. And I tell them, you don't have to tell me, I know you're suffering. It's just a matter of degree, that's all. But what is the... naturally we're suffering because we're living in a demoniac age. And there's the whole atmosphere of... The demoniac atmosphere is everyone is trying to exploit everyone else. And there's no material solution to the problem of suffering. Someone just sent me a report from the BBC news service that in Britain there's a higher standard of living than ever. People have more money to spend, and people are more miserable than ever and have more mental disease than ever. We see in India also that there's a higher standard of living than ever. People have more money to spend, and people are more miserable than ever and have more mental disease than ever. We see in India also there's been tremendous economic development in the last 15 years or so. Previously, to have a bicycle was considered something prestigious, say in the 90s. When you were young, to have even a push bicycle, that was considered something prestigious. Then it, yeah. I remember when I first came to Delhi in 1975, there was just bicycles everywhere. Cycle it's called in Indian English. Cycle.
I said it.
Pure Tamil. Dvichakrayanam. Is that in Tamil? Is that? That's Sanskrit. But then it became, then the next thing became a yantra yukta dvichakrayanam. In other words, a motorcycle. That's right. Now it's cars. Now it's a normal thing for people to have cars. So all of you are sitting there and think, oh, I don't have a car. I'm not up to standard. Don't worry, a car won't make you happy. Krishna will make us. Get more and more material contrivances, and we go further and further away from Krishna. Not necessarily. If one is an advanced devotee, then he can engage the whole world in Krishna service. He's not attached to anything. Once one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples was dealing in precious gems. So one day he came to Prabhupada and said that, Prabhupada, I have this very expensive necklace and I want to sell it, but I thought at least for some time I could put it on you. So he put it, it's worth some hundreds of thousands of dollars. He put it on Prabhupada. Prabhupada wore it for some time and said, okay, now you take it back. It, no personal attachment to these things. So we should know that the root cause of all suffering is ignorance. Worth some hundreds of thousands of dollars. He put it on Prabhupada. Prabhupada wore it for some time and said, okay, now you take it back. It, no personal attachment to these things. So we should know that the root cause of all suffering is ignorance. From one perspective, the perspective that Lord Krishna is outlining in this chapter, a demon is a very bad person. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's judgment is Jiva Sharup Hoy Krishna Nityodas. Every jiva is constitutionally part and parcel of Krishna. So in this material world, basically everyone has a perverted mentality. Krishna Bahimukh Hoya Bhogavancha Kare Nikatastha Maya Tare Japati Adhare. We are captured by Maya because we have chosen to be inimical to Krishna and to desire material enjoyment. But that is not our real nature. The real nature of the jiva is to be fully pure, fixed in his position of service to Krishna. So Krishna consciousness means Janma Sata Kari Karo Para Upakar, to make our lives successful and to benefit others. That means that we are ourselves trying to rise above the demoniac qualities that we are so much attached to. We may talk of demons, this demon, that demon. What about me? As much as we have desires other than to serve Krishna, we are also demoniac. But we are fortunate enough to have attained this process of Krishna consciousness. So preaching means to approach people who are less fortunate, they are without knowledge of Krishna consciousness, and to awaken their latent serving mood toward Krishna. Some people, it seems that the latency of their serving mood toward Krishna is so latent as to be almost non-existent. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, even the most demoniac can be uplifted. However, in general, it's recommended that devotees approach or try to impress the teachings of Krishna consciousness upon people who are at least somewhat open to receive it. If we try to discuss with people who are very demoniac and offensive toward Krishna, they just become more offensive and our own minds become agitated. So although we may say that in this mature world everyone is basically demoniac, and especially in the modern age, but preaching Krishna consciousness means to find the spark of interest in Krishna consciousness in others and to fan that. That's another analogy Prabhupada often used, to fan the spark of Krishna consciousness. If we fan the spark, it can transform into a blazing fire. So these are some thoughts on Lord Krishna's statements about those who are forced to go down into the abominable forms of existence.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like we see, the number of mosquitoes seems to increase all the time. This is an envious species of life. Persons who are very envious of others, they take birth as snakes, scorpions, mosquitoes, and such creatures. So let us chant Hare Krishna and the mosquitoes will be benefited also. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question?
Yes.
This is a long time ago. It's 1970s. Nowadays, they're very... In Australia in general, people very... Mostly, they very much like our movement. Actually, all over the world, as far as I can see. Many people appreciate it now. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, I've had the opportunity to chant the Maha Mantra with devotees in many places in the world. I don't remember going on the streets of Melbourne, but in Sydney and other parts of Australia, we went on Harinam and so many places. Generally, we find that everywhere people are very appreciative. The Muslim countries, that's still a great challenge. But in Malaysia, which is a Muslim-dominated country, we regularly have Rath Yatras and Harinams. In Bangladesh, we regularly have big festivals of Krishna consciousness. Of course, mostly Hindus attend. Muslims sometimes come also. Anyway, in many places, many people are appreciative. And of course, everywhere some people will make some opposite kind of comments. But even those who they don't like the chanting or they comment against it, still the chanting has entered their ear and the purifying effect will be there. Sometimes in the Western countries when we come with our chanting parties in the shopping area, people will block their ears and run away. Too late, sir. You already heard the Hare Krishna mantra. You don't want to be purified? Anyway, you'll be purified. Sometimes we offer prasad, but people say, no, I don't want to take. I'm a Christian or I'm a Muslim. Well, according to their understanding, it's just food, that's all. According to their understanding, when we offer to the deity, nothing happens. So if it's only food, then why not take it? So actually, by not taking it, they know that there's something different about it. Maybe they think that shaitan has entered the food or something like that. It's a very primitive understanding, sorry to say. Once I came out of our temple in London, and there was a Christian passing out pamphlets to the passers-by. A Christian was passing out his pamphlets against vegetarianism. And there was a picture of Satan with horns and teeth and looking horrible, holding a plate with carrots and cabbages and apples. And all these quotes from the Bible, which is supposed to be saying that you should eat lots of meat. Sometimes people have very strange ideas. Not sometimes, almost everyone, almost all of the time. So let us imbibe and inculcate this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That means we ourselves shall study and try to teach that to others. Yeah, what were you saying actually? Why, that's an interesting question. Why were they provoked to arrest us and this and that? Well, that might be difficult for pious Hindus to understand that. But it's just called envy, hingsa. Many times we find that a snake will just bite someone for no reason. So persons who are like snakes, when they see something good, they become angry. So it was like that they thought, what are these people singing and dancing and wearing these funny clothes? And there's the idea that you see, we have our own culture and way of life, and we are the best. And why have these people from our children's generation, practically by taking up this public chanting, they've rejected all that. They've come to, so that they've become something different. They don't like that they've become something different. It's like a threat to them. If we are not eating meat and not drinking alcohol, not smoking and all these things, it makes them look bad. They become embarrassed. Actually, in the Western countries, these things, they don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's becoming like that in India also. There's been so much propaganda from so many bogus swamis that you can eat what you like, do what you like, everything's all the same, that the traditional understanding among Hindus that meat eating is not good and alcohol is not good, that's gone. Even the Christian sects, they used to observe vegetarianism on some days, or partial vegetarianism. It used to be, when I was a child, in the Catholic tradition, we had to eat fish on Fridays because you weren't allowed to eat meat. Because Jesus was killed on a Friday. Now, I think in India, they were vegetarians. Because if they weren't vegetarians, no one would have listened to them, probably. Anyway, we don't talk too much about Christianity. They had some idea that there was something wrong with eating meat. One monastery I was staying in, I didn't join it as a monk, but I was just staying some in their Christian monastery before I joined ISKCON. They were vegetarians. They were hoping I would join. No one had joined them for 20 years. They were all old men. So it's just due to demoniac mentality that people became so much against us. But like I say, that has changed to a large extent in the Western world now. You see, the more we preach, the better the preaching becomes. The more we distribute these books and hold festivals and meet people and hold programs, the atmosphere becomes purified and favorable for Krishna consciousness. At the same time, the general direction of the world is getting worse day by day. People are becoming more and more confused and more sinful and more miserable. So let us chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let people be benefited by this Maha Mantra. Such a simple process, such a nice process. You can get fullest benefit. Even if we think I should do something more difficult, that won't help us. Krishna is so merciful. He has appeared in this, he's manifested himself as the Maha Mantra. And let people be benefited by this Maha Mantra. Such a simple process, such a nice process. You can get fullest benefit in chanting Hare. Even if we think I should do something more difficult, that won't help us. Krishna is so merciful. He has appeared in this, he's manifested himself as the Maha Mantra. And especially in this Kali Yuga, we can get all benefit from the Maha Mantra. So even the envious people, they can be changed by this chanting. In Italy, when our devotees go on book distribution, always the first place they will go, if they go in a village or town, they always go to the priests and the nuns, because they always buy all of the books. They're very appreciative of our books. One time, one devotee, he met the priest and he said, "Well, tomorrow Sunday, you please come to the service in the church on Sunday." So the devotee went. So when it came the time for the speech, he called the devotee and said, "You speak. You know more about God than me. You're much more qualified to speak than me." That's in Italy. In all of Europe, it's a very pious country in the sense that people are very open to Krishna consciousness. Recently in Slovenia, which is a country bordering Italy, our Vasudev Datta Prabhu, who's in Ceylon now, he said that two priests came up to him and said, "Hey, please give us your books quickly and don't tell anyone that we took them." Actually, this distribution of books, there's so many stories, so many amazing things happen. Sometimes you meet people and they're not interested and they just completely turn around or they tell you all kinds of things. One devotee in Maharashtra, he was distributing door to door. It was in the week and there was everywhere he went there were some elderly housewives and he thought, this won't be very good for book distribution. So he knocked on one door and some average Marathi housewife answered and showed the books and said, "Do you have the Srimad Bhagavatam? I want the whole set." So he asked, "How do you know about the Bhagavatam set?" And she said that, "Well, in the beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness, it said that it's very important that everyone should read the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I need to have it. Give it to me." There are so many. I'll tell one story of how one demoniac person came to Krishna consciousness. That one of our devotees, she was a young girl, because in the Western countries, the girls, boys, they all go on book distribution. So in Paris, she was in the train station. She went in the first class compartment and she gave a book to one well-dressed man. And he turned out to be a complete demon. When he saw the book, it's Krishna book, he said, "What's this stupid book?" And he took it from her and he ripped it. And he started, threw it on the floor and started jumping on it. Yeah, he grabbed the book from her, ripped it, and then threw it. And he turned out to be a complete demon. When he saw the book, it's Krishna book, he said, "What's this stupid book?" And he took it from her and he ripped it and threw it on the floor and started jumping on it. Yeah, he grabbed the book from her, ripped it, and then threw it on the floor and started jumping on it and laughing. Then he took that, he took the girl by the arm, took her out of the compartment, took her to the door, and threw her out so violently that she fell down and fractured her shoulder. So actually he was a very successful banker, and he was visiting Paris on business, and he was going back to his home in Spain. So he thought, what is this stupid book? The book was still on the floor. You know, I'll take it home and show my wife what a stupid book it is and how I ripped it. So he brought it into his home and he left it on the table, and then he just forgot about it. And this the servant, actually in the Western countries to have a servant, you have to be very rich. So the servant saw it and she thought it was put there for her to repair. So she repaired it very nicely and put it in the bookshelf. Please shut that door, we already have enough mosquitoes in here. And things started going wrong in his life. His wife died in a car crash. His son just ran off with some bad girl and became completely dissolute. Dissolute, you know what that means? It means he just lost all what they might call civilized behavior. So he was, he's rich, but he's got very successful, but he's just at home alone and just feeling so miserable. He was actually thinking of committing suicide. And then, guess what? Somehow or other, he saw that book on the bookshelf, and he wondered, what's that book sitting there? He looked at it and thought, that's a strange book. Well, that's a very funny-looking book. It's not the kind of book I read. Anyway, he started to read it, and he got such comfort from reading about Krishna. He felt his empty life becoming filled. Then he remembered how he got the book and how demoniac he'd been. So this was a few years later. He went back to Paris to find that devotee he had so badly treated. And he fell at her feet and begged for forgiveness. You were doing such a compassionate service and I treated you so badly. So he started associating with devotees regularly. And even though he was such a major figure in the banking world, he actually joined the temple full time. In San Diego, in California, there was a man who thought, I have to commit suicide. Life is just too bad. So he went to his library and got the book on how to commit suicide. 100 ways to commit suicide. They have books like that. There are books like that. And he decided that this is the best way. It's very, it's not very painful. Is that you get your car in your garage and you put a pipe on the exhaust and then you put it in through the window and close all the windows so that all the exhaust fumes come inside the car, and then gradually by taking in the exhaust fumes you just gradually kind of fall asleep and then you die from carbon monoxide poisoning. Turn on the engine. But it takes, it's not painful, but it takes it's quite a long time. So he's an American, you got to do something every second. He was getting bored waiting to die. What can I do while I'm sitting here waiting to die? So he opened up the, in the dashboard there's the cupboard, and saw there's some book there. Which book? So Srila Prabhupada's Beyond Birth and Death. So he started reading it. He read one page, he read two pages, and he put the book down. Then he opened the window, took out the pipe, disconnected it, and he looked for the address of the ISKCON Center in San Diego, Pacific Drive, and he went in the temple and said, give me all your books and tell me everything about Krishna consciousness. So, of course, it's not always so spectacular, but this book distribution is very auspicious. Any realizations or good experiences or interesting stories you have while distributing books, please tell our devotees in the temple, and we'll put it in English. And there's a conference, an email conference, where some of the interesting stories from book distribution all over the world are given there. So let's share that with share our realizations and experiences with devotees all over the world. Did you hear that, Madhavananda? Then all the devotees from around the world will know that there's a town in Tamil Nadu called Vellore, and Prabhupada's movement is going on there also. And you can get the blessing, you can ask for the blessings of devotees from all over the world for distributing Prabhupada's books. Some devotees have been distributing for more than 30 years, 40 years, regularly distributing Prabhupada's books, their whole life. There's some devotees in America, Prabhupada disciples, they're old now, but they're still going out practically every day. Bhrigupati in Los Angeles, Nidra in Denver, they come to mind. Vijay, so many book distribution, great souls. They don't have to worry about whether they're going back to Godhead or not. They're already there. They're already getting so much mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Anything else means Sharira Vidya Jal. Everyone likes that. Everyone likes that song. His body is a lump of ignorance. Yeah, but we're going to take prasadam. That's very important also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhalo na kaibe, don't eat nice food. And Prabhupada said, take prasad, as much as delicious prasad. Most people can't even begin to understand any philosophy about Krishna consciousness. Sometimes I had the experience in the Western countries trying to preach, and people are just so stupid, they can't understand. Once I was trying to explain about the soul in the body, just like the driver in the car, this man said, well, don't you think it's not proper for monks and sadhus to have cars? How do you preach to people like that? Give them prasadam. That's maybe another reason why in Australia people like us so much, because we distributed lots of prasadam there. Once in Belfast in Ireland, which is a small city, it's just less than 3 lakhs population, but it's famous because there was fighting there for so many years. So once after Mangalati, I went outside for chanting. It was still dark. So day and night there's soldiers patrolling around the city, especially at night. So I was just walking in the dark, and there were these street lights, and then two soldiers came out of the shadow and said, What are you doing? And I said, well, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee and I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And one of the soldiers was from Australia and said, oh yeah, I know Hare Krishna. They have great vegetarian food. In Australia, our movement is famous for what they call vegetarian food, but actually it's prasadam. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.